We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. How to behave in the household of God. That is our theme for this series as we walk through the book of 1 Timothy and as we study what Paul had to say to Timothy at this point in history. If you'll remember, Paul had left Timothy, a very young man, a young pastor. He left him at the city of Ephesus to pastor this church while Paul went on to do some more missionary work in Macedonia. And then he writes this letter back to Timothy to help instruct him how to get this church back on track. Because after Paul and Timothy had left Ephesus the first time, false teachers had crept into the church and they began teaching false doctrine. And so when Paul and Timothy get back and they discover this, they kick out some people. They kick out some false teachers. And then Paul leaves Timothy there with instructions, and then he goes on. And now he writes his letter back in order to help Timothy understand what it means to get a church back on track after it had gone astray from the truth. And last week, as we looked into chapter 1, we started with Paul, who emphasized and said that truth matters, first and foremost. That you and I, as individuals, as families, as a church, we must be aligned with the truth. And of course, truth comes from God because He is the source of all truth. And that when our lives do not align up with truth and the source of all truth, we find ourselves drifting and going astray. And eventually, we find ourselves shipwrecked, as he mentioned last week, for the two gentlemen that he had to kick out of the church for teaching false doctrine, and their lives were shipwrecked. But when we stay aligned with the truth, we discover, we align ourselves under the protection in the hand of God, and He will guide and direct and watch over us. Well, if truth is so important, and it is, how do we then stay aligned with truth? Well, Paul addresses this in chapter 2. He addresses it in the prayer matters. Truth matters, and then prayer matters. If you remember last week, I introduced to you the display that Beth so graciously put up, and she added to it this week, and Alexis helped her print out. We now have our healthy logo here on the front that illustrates the six W's of a healthy Christian. We even bought one of these signs you see out in restaurants to kind of put the name and the title of the series up there. And if we have artists in here and you're good at drawing and you want to add to something like that, that's okay. But also remember, we have our scripture verse, right? How to behave in the household of God. The fruits that are up here reminds us of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As fruit is part of a healthy diet, fruit reminds us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A healthy Christian walks with the Holy Spirit each day. And the product of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Of course, the candles in the coffee mug represented mental health and taking a break and getting your mind right. It reminds us of Romans 12, 1 and 2 that says, we renew our minds. We present our bodies as living sacrifices. We renew our minds. And what does it mean to renew your mind? It means to scrape off the old way of thinking, to scrape off the world's way of thinking, and replace it with God's way of thinking that we find in the Scriptures. And of course, all of this is centered around the Word of God. So today, truth matters. We're going to talk about how prayer matters for your life, for your family's life, and for our church. The great evangelist of the 19th century, D.L. Moody, said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. D.L. Moody was sort of the forerunner of Billy Graham. D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of the 19th century. He founded Moody Church in Chicago, which is still going strong today. He founded Moody Bible Institute, which is still going strong today. Eventually, his organization created Moody Radio. They still have Moody Radio in Chicago or in Chattanooga, all over the country, where you can hear great teaching, great music, great preaching. He understood the truth that prayer is the lifeblood of the movement of God. My friend, Scripture, that's where we find the truth. But it is prayer that helps us apply the truth. You go to the Word of God, and the Bible, the Word of God, is God's revelation to mankind, but it is also God's revelation to you individually. And so when you dive into the Word of God and you read the Word of God, you learn about who God is, and you also learn what He has to say about how we are to live here in this world. And so now you're gathering and you're gaining knowledge, but the Bible doesn't tell you how to react in every single instance. right? It doesn't give you the answers for every situation you run across. But when you run across a situation, if you've been in the Word of God, you've been studying the Word of God, and then you go to God in prayer and you say, okay, God, now then, how do I apply this truth? How do I apply this principle in this situation right here? Too often when we neglect to pray to God, when we go into situations, we misapply. And so Scripture is where you find the truth, and prayer will help you align with the truth. And we're going to start out, we're only going to look at 8 verses today. We're going to read all 8 verses since it's such a short little paragraph. And then we're going to come back and we're going to tease out what Paul had to say in these verses. So read with me if you will. Prayer matters, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. It starts out, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so Paul says, therefore, based upon the truth and the fact that truth matters and the ultimate source of truth is God, based upon the truth, we need to pray. And the central verse, the central phrase in this paragraph, this passage he talks about, is found in verse 4. He goes, who desires, or God desires that, how many? All men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is that all men be saved. And so our prayer lives need to reflect this truth, that God desires everyone to be saved. That includes your enemy and that person that mocks you and mistreats you, that person that you can't stand, that person at work that just drives you crazy. God desires all men to be saved. And that is the central focus of this passage here, because it starts with salvation. And a church that is aligned with the truth and a church that is aligned with God will be passionate to pray for lost souls. I don't know how many of you have been over to our prayer board, but right here is the absolute most important section of this entire prayer board. The one that says salvation at the top. And I don't know how well you can see the orange writing, but there are a whole list of names on that right side. Every name on that board, somebody loves. And somebody loved enough to take the time to write on that board so that they would remember to pray for them, but so that you would gather and pray for those people as well. You may not know who that person is, but that doesn't matter. God knows. You may know nothing about them, but God knows. And you know that there's somebody in this building that loves them enough to want you to pray for their lost soul. How many times have you stopped at the prayer board to pray for a lost soul? That is first and foremost on God's heart. So, with that thought in mind, let's go back. Let's look. He says, therefore, right, based on the truth, I exert first of all. Prayer comes first. Prayer is important. But how often do we treat it as just an afterthought, or I'll pray when I need to talk to God? And no, it's first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I want to take just a moment here to explain each of these words, because I think a lot of times Christians, they'll read through and they'll read all those words, but they don't really take time to stop and go, well, what in the world does that word actually mean? Supplications. Because you don't walk around using the word supplication, do you? I doubt anybody this week was at work, hey boss, can I supplicate for you today? We don't talk that way. What in the world does supplication mean? The word supplication comes from the Greek word that means to lack or to be without. So a supplication means to pray for someone who has a need. So when you're praying for that person who has a financial need, you are practicing supplication for them. You're praying for their need. When you're praying for something who has a physical need, you're praying for that need because they are without. But what is the most important thing that we should pray for if somebody's without? Salvation. It's Jesus Christ, right? Nothing else really matters if they're an unbeliever. Yeah, it might matter for a short time. But a person who is without Jesus, the first thing we need to pray for them for is that they come to know Jesus. That we need to pray for those folks who are unbelievers because they are lacking. They behave the way they behave because they don't see the way you see. They don't understand the truth the way you understand the truth. They don't have the power of God indwelling them the way you had the power of God indwelling them. They have a great, great, great need. And we need to go to God on their behalf and pray that the Holy Spirit will call them and that they will be saved. Because a person's greatest need is salvation. The second one is prayers, and we know this word. It's the general word that we use for talking to God. It literally means to speak to God or to make a request of God. But basically what it means is to communicate with God. And communication is a two-way street, correct? Every married couple knows this because every married couple knows about miscommunication, do you not? Well, you said X. No, that's not what I said. Oh, yes, you said, no, you said it. No, right, you miscommunicate sometimes. But communication goes back and forth. If all you do is talk to your spouse and never stop to listen to your spouse, you're not really communicating, are you? You're kind of just giving orders. Talking to God, prayer is a communication with God. Yes, we talk to God. We go to God with our request. We go to God to talk to Him about what's on our heart. But we also must take time to listen to God. You should practice regularly in your prayers that when you are done praying and talking to God, to sit and be quiet and listen for a moment. How many times do you say amen and then you jump off and you're gone? God's going, I got something to say. All we did was hand Him our list. Practice the pause in your prayer. When you're done praying, pause and wait and listen for God. Maybe even in the middle of your prayer, pray and then take a moment to pause and be quiet. And I know this is hard because what happens? You pause, you try to be quiet, and then what happens? Your mind goes over here, and it goes over there, and then it goes back there, and your brain just goes whoop, because our brains are so filled with the noise of our culture. It's hard for us to be silent and still and quiet. So it takes practice. But we need to learn that prayer is a communication, a two-way street where I talk to God and then I actually listen to what God has to say. Well, the third one is intercessions. Intercessions means to fall in with somebody or to speak on behalf of someone. Like a lawyer goes to court and speaks on behalf of someone. And that's what this word intercession means. And we've all interceded for somebody. When I think of intercession, I always think of this one. Because sometimes people get in such a emotional disturbance or they're hurt, they're angry, they're frustrated. They can't pray. You ever been in that state? You've ever been in so much turmoil and you're like, I can't even pray? You ever met with somebody, talked to somebody that way? It happens. That's a great time for you to go and intercede for them on their behalf. I remember when my dad died in 2012, it was hard. But it was hard because I was grieving for my dad, but what was so hard was I thought my mom was going to die. She did not handle it well. She's a Christian. Dad's a Christian. Dad had been in the hospital for 6 months. She should have been prepared, but she wasn't. And she was so distraught, so upset. It was a difficult, difficult time. And I remember at the visitation, I walked in, and my mom was up at the coffin, and she come running to me, well, running in as fast as she could at 80 years old or whatever it was, and just tears rolling down her face. She just so much pain, and she looks at me, and she goes, I can't even pray. Will you pray for me? I went and found a quiet spot and got on my knees, and I started interceding for my mom because she was in so much pain she couldn't pray. She needed that intercession for me in those moments. And there's times where folks need you to intercede on their behalf. And when you intercede on their behalf, you are following the lead of God. Because you know what the Bible tells us about this intercession? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in prayer and you're just like, I don't have the words? Anybody else been that way? Or maybe you're like, I got so many words, I can't even organize them. My brain's going everywhere. I'm in such pain or desperation or too much on my mind. God, I just. God says, that's okay. The Holy Spirit goes, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. I know what's going on in your heart. I'll take that to your Heavenly Father for you. And I'll let Him know what's going on in your heart. What a beautiful thing that is it not? That the Holy Spirit of God cares enough about you and about me that when we're in a place where we can't even speak for ourselves, He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you. You just sit here and you be quiet and you let me talk to God on your behalf. Oh man, what an amazing thing prayer is, because sometimes it doesn't even have to be words. It just has to be you alone with God. Well, not just the Holy Spirit, get this. Hebrews says that therefore He, speaking of Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to heaven, Jesus. Since He always lives to make what? Intercession. That Jesus Christ, while the Holy Spirit is here dwelling within you, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And Jesus is going, God, I've got that. I paid for that sin. God, this is what they're going through. Will you help them through that? That Jesus Christ is standing there and He is interceding on your behalf in heaven while the Holy Spirit is down here interceding on your behalf and on God's behalf here on earth. What an amazing thing that prayer is, that you have a direct line to the Creator of the universe anytime you want. And yet, how often do we neglect this great privilege that we've been given? And then, of course, there's the giving of thanks. We all know this one. This is praise. We just sung gratitude. Many of the songs that we try to sing here, they're prayers, really. If you will sing them prayerfully, it is a prayer of thanks to God, thanking Him for all that He has. And you know what? Sometimes all we have is hallelujah. It's all I got today, God. Sometimes that is enough. And so, prayer. He continues. Well, who are we to pray for? I like this. For kings and all who are in authority. He starts with the authority. For the presidents. If they got a D or an R by their name, that doesn't matter. You still pray for them. If they're an independent, you pray for them. Pray for those in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. We are to pray for the authority. We are to pray for people. But the purpose of the prayer is not necessarily to change them. Although we hope that God will intervene and change those people. The purpose is that it will change us. The purpose of prayer is to change us and to change how we respond and how we react in a given situation. We pray for the other person. We pray for our enemies. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those folks that hurt you. We pray for those folks who say the vilest, ugly things on Facebook. We pray for those folks, and then we give that to God and say, God, that's in your hands. Now, God, you help me react and respond the way you want me to react and respond to that. Too often we pray for that person, God change them, and all the while God's saying, look, I think you and I need to have a talk. So prayer is to change you and help you react and help you respond appropriately in those situations. The word quiet. He says, we pray so that we, the church, lives a quiet and peaceable life. Quiet is the absence of external disturbances. That means we are to pray so that the life that we lead doesn't cause chaos outside of us. And it doesn't cause disturbances out there. We pray so that we are quiet, peaceable people that's not causing the problem. Peaceable means an absence of internal disturbances. So I'm praying so that if it is chaos out there, inside here, I'm still at peace. You know why? Because I'm aligned with my Heavenly Father. I'm under the hand of His protection. And I know God's got my back. I'm going to do the next right thing, and I'm going to leave the rest to God. and I'm going to live in peace. I can't control that. I can't control them. But what I can control is my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And if I'm struggling, I got the Holy Spirit and I got Jesus right here helping me. So as we pray for others, we must remember it is how do we respond to them. My friend John MacArthur said persecution, and I agree 100%. Persecution should only be the result of righteous living, not civil disobedience. We have in America the right to protest peacefully. You want to march down the street and you want to protest, you do so peacefully. You start blocking roads and you start interfering with authority and you start hurling insults and cursing and calling people names, you have now drifted off into things that are ungodly. We, if we're going to be persecuted, may it be because we have stood up and done what is right and done it peacefully and in order and according to God's plans. Not out of anger and frustration and, boy, I'm going to get them and I don't like what they're doing, so I'm just going to take control. What a selfish way to think. I'm going to give it to God and I'm going to live a quiet, peaceful life. He continues, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the first truth a person comes to knowledge of is Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But for the Christian, it maybe it's gone astray. Let's come and lead them back to the truth. Because this is where the false teachers got offline in their teachings in Ephesus. It wasn't that the false teachers were teaching a different view of the rapture than Paul. It wasn't that the false teachers were teaching a different view of how often to meet in church than Paul. Or whether or not we should have life groups. And for the record, they were all life groups in the first century. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have church buildings until 300 years after Jesus. They met in their homes for 300 years. But anyway, it wasn't a difference of opinion. The false teachers were teaching false doctrine as it related to salvation. As I mentioned last week, they took law and they began to mix law with grace. And they took works and they mixed works with faith. And when you mix law with grace, there is no more grace. And when you mix works with faith, there is no more faith. And Paul had already told them in Ephesians when he wrote the letter then, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, so that no man can boast. You cannot mix grace and works. You cannot mix law. You cannot mix any of that together. And this is what they were doing. Anybody that's depending upon their works for salvation is not saved. That is the hard truth. Because salvation is only in the name of Jesus Christ. The truth is what? There's one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God but through me, Jesus said. Who? Jesus gave him a ransom for who? All men to be. We are to pray for all men to be saved. To be testified in due time. In other words, Jesus came at exactly the right moment when God said to. My friend, as a church, we must come together to pray meaningful prayers that draw all of us to a closer relationship with God so that we align our church with what God is doing in our community in order to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what our prayer life should be about. And Paul continues. He goes, which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. There were folks, false teachers pointing at Paul and saying, he's a liar. He's not an apostle. What he's teaching is not right. And Paul stands up and says, no, I got it straight from Jesus, and I'm telling you the truth. And part of the truth is he was a teacher of the Gentiles. Peter opened the door for the gospel to be preached to the Gentile world, but then God called Paul to walk through that door, and Paul spent the bulk of his ministry preaching to the Gentiles so that they could all be saved. The false teachers are also teaching an exclusionary gospel that only certain people could be saved. You had to be a Jew, or you had to convert to Judaism. And Paul's like, that is absolutely not true. God wants all men to be saved. And there is no such thing as an exclusionary gospel. Anybody can come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He doesn't turn away anyone. And he concludes with this. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That word doubting, there's better translated arguing. But that word men, It's not the generic Greek word for mankind or humankind. Paul was not saying, I pray that all people pray. This is a call to the men of the church. Remember, the church had gotten out of alignment. And this was a call to the men of the church to step up and be the prayer leaders, to be the prayer warriors, to be the spiritual leaders in the church. Our church will only grow as far as our men step up and grow. He says, I pray that men step up and be the spiritual leaders in the church. Men, you're to be the spiritual leader in the home. Our church needs to be filled with men. And we've talked about this for months now. I pray that every man in this building watches that Kingdom Man series, go through it with someone else. And I know many of you have. It's kind of tough. He kind of punches you right in the face, doesn't he, guys? It's been through it, right? But it's a good punch in the face, and we all need it. He says, men, you need to step up and pray. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week. The lifting up of holy hands is not so much about the posture, although that's good, holy hands. It's more about righteous living, putting away our anger, right? Rather than get angry at them over there, I'll pray for them and pray that God will love them through me and that God will adjust my heart and my attitude so I can love the way Jesus loved. So men, it is upon us to pray. I've been praying for months now that more and more and more we will see men stand here at the prayer time and scripture time and read the Bible and pray. More and more men step up. I think a neat idea would be a couple to come up here and the wife read the scripture and then the husband pray. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Or maybe one of the children come and their father pray after the child reads the scriptures. And we'll discuss this a little more because next week it gets really interesting. But man, we've got to step up and be the leaders. We've got to be the prayer warriors. Women, you can pray too. This is not to dismiss what your prayers are, because many times I've found that the best prayer warriors in the church were women who pray silently and quietly for their church. But when it comes to the public display and the public leading of our church, men, we need to step up. Well, when we pray, what should we do? How should we pray? Number one, be honest. There's no reason to hide it from God. He knows anyway. When you look at 1 Peter 5, he says, cast all your cares upon him. And 1 Peter 5 is taken from Psalm 55. You go read Psalm 55 this afternoon. Ooh, David was not happy. He was hurt. His friend had betrayed him, and he was in not a good place. And so he started just throwing all of his hurt, his anger, his frustration up to God. And then, as in all those Psalms, it begins to turn. As he begins to get rid of the stuff and give it to God, he begins to turn back and rely on God and say, okay, I'll let you deal with them. I'm going to serve you and I'm going to love you, God. But we got to be honest in our prayers and pray out loud. Ooh, that scares a lot of people. Praying out loud scares a lot of people. Even if you're home praying by yourself, you should try praying out loud sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. The actual forming of the word to say it out loud helps you think more clearly. But praying out loud with your spouse allows them to hear what's in your heart. And you're like, well, yeah, but my brain is so scrambled. And I've done this. Just the other day I was praying, like, when I was done with the prayer, I'm like, okay, that was a scrambled prayer. And Dale was like, yep, but that's okay, right? It's fine. It allows your spouse to hear what's in your heart. They need to know what's in your heart. You need to come together. Pray out loud together. Pray out loud in your life group. And I know it's hard. So many folks, they struggle with this. It's okay. I've been in life groups for 25 years. And for 25 years, I've encouraged people to pray out loud. And I've been present many, many a time when a person decided to pray out loud in their life group for the very first time. And I've heard the nervousness, and I've heard the short prayers, and sometimes it was a very, very short prayer because they got nervous and scared and they quit, but they tried. You know what I've never heard in 25 years of being part of life groups and people praying out loud? I have never heard anybody in the life group laugh or mock or make fun of somebody for praying out loud. You know why? Because we're all there together praying. We all struggle the same way. We are with you when you're praying out loud. We are for you. And we've been there. So I want to encourage you. Be honest. And pray out loud. Well, what should I pray for? We got to pray for the physical and the spiritual. Yes, we want to pray for cousin Freddy's who's got the flu, but you know what? I pray that the flu brings Freddy closer to Christ. If he's not saved, I pray that he gets saved. We pray for the physical and the spiritual. We pray for the temporary things of this world, but we must always pray for the eternal. To align yourself with the truth of God's word, your prayers need to be aligned with the internal important things in life. Because we all know this, we're all going to die someday, and what is left is our soul and spirit. Pray for the eternal. Pray for the body and the spirit. Not just the body. My friend, prayer is spiritual alignment. Prayer is where I align my will with God's will. Prayer is not where I say, God, this is what I want. Now I want you to align your will with mine. That would make you God. Prayer is spiritual alignment where we align up with the source of all truth, our Heavenly Father. Persistent, meaningful prayer is the lifeblood of a healthy church. We must have persistent, meaningful prayer in our church. When I came here 5.5 years ago, I met with Mark Puckett at that time. At that time, he was the director of our local association. Matt Ledbetter is now. Mark has since retired. Well, Mark gave me about 6 or 7 books. I can't remember exactly how many. And they were all about this size, super easy read books. And they were all by the man Tom Rainer, who is a pastor and a church researcher, a church growth expert. And the first book I read was called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. He went and he interviewed, I was 12, 14, 15 different churches that had died, and he found members of that church who had since moved on to other churches. And he interviewed these people. And he discovered, I think it was 10, right? Gabe, it was like 10 common things that every deceased church had. There were 10 things they all had in common. Well, then after that, he went. He wrote this book, Anatomy of a Revived Church, where he did research on the opposite end. He went to these churches that almost died and then were revived, and he came up with 10 common things that they did. And reading these two books back to back was like kind of reading two sides of the same coin. And we'll not go into all 10 of those things today, but there was one very, very huge difference in the deceased church and the revived church. Every single church that was revived had at least one prayer warrior who went to God on behalf of their church consistently, regularly, and meaningfully. Everyone. Every one of the churches that died, that everyone said, our prayer life, we quit praying. Yeah, we prayed the perfunctory prayer before the service, and we prayed before the food, but we really quit praying meaningful prayers for our community. Every single one of them. Prayer is the lifeblood of a healthy church. Real quickly, after he wrote the book, he was teaching in a conference on church growth, and a lady came up to him after. Her name was Ruth. She wasn't a part of his study, but he got to talk to her, and she said, I enjoyed your conference. She goes, our church almost died just a couple years ago, but as our church was about to die, I felt God impress upon me to start praying for our church in a real and meaningful way. Ruth said, I started showing up at church every Tuesday morning at 5:30 a.m., and I would pray for our church for half an hour every Tuesday. Ruth said, sadly, I invited a lot of people, but most of them weren't even interested. But there were a few folks who were interested in joining Ruth praying at 5:30 on a Tuesday morning for their church. She said, the most we ever had was 6, but there was always 2 or 3 of us there, and I clung to the promise where God said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, I will be amongst them. I prayed for 2 years, and finally, our church began to grow again. And then she smiles and she says, for the last 3 Sundays, we've had people baptized in our church. The revitalization started when one lady with a burden began to pray. We have a prayer meeting every Saturday at 9 a.m. here, the last Saturday of the month. I make as many as I can. There's occasions where I cannot make it. And there's always just a few folks. And I'm so thankful for the few folks that show up and pray. You are welcome to join us at any time. This February, the last Saturday of this February, I'm going to bring my guitar and we're going to sing a couple praise and worship songs and have a time of worship and prayer. But this is what it is. It's prayer. For those of you who are prayer warriors in our church, don't give up. You never know. But it is meaningful prayer that will make the difference. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Truth matters. And the way we align ourselves with truth as we move forward is in our prayer life. As we move forward with the van and with kids' ministries and all the different things that we want to do, as we're seeking God's face and seeking God's will, we must be praying meaningful prayers, and we must be praying for lost souls. Would you stand with me as Rob comes? I want you to pray with me as we close this portion of our service. I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's more of a model prayer. But you pray this with me, and then as Rob plays, you come. The altar is a perfect place to pray. That prayer board is a perfect place to pray. If our church is going to continue to grow and be healthy, we must be a church that prays meaningful prayers. Pray this with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. O God in heaven, make us a people of prayer. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. I pray that our next few moments will be a time where we seek your face, where you move mightily amongst us, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in our church. Oh God, I pray that you continue to open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings on us. And I pray, Lord, that this morning we will move as you have called us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.